In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with you. Great to be with you. So we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. So, we turn to Mary also as we pray in the Hail Holy Queen. Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And we like to invite all of you to beg Mary to walk with you, to encourage you, to protect you by her prayers. As we say the prayer that Mary loves most, that prayer is the Hail Mary. So let's say together the angelic salutation, the Hail Mary. Ask Mary to bless all of our activities, as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'm going to turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the gift of gifts. He's also known as the paraclete. He's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. He's also known as our consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master. Interior master in the sense that we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say Abba, which means Daddy or Father. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let us invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to enlighten us, to set our hearts on fire. As we say, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Martin of Tours, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So as always, it's great to be with you in our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with all of you. And as always, we promise to pray for you in our Mass today. By far the greatest of all prayers that we have, the greatest of all prayers that we have is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. There's actually nothing greater than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar as we celebrate Mass today, as always. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would make a real concerted effort to be open, that we would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We'd be open to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Docility to the Holy Spirit is key to our sanctification. We might even say this prayer during the course of the day. That prayer would be, come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come. Come Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. The next will be, like to pray in a special way for all of us that we would work on a daily basis on our permanent formation, especially in our faith, that we would take the proper steps to get to know our faith better by proper study. The thing is, we've got so much out there that we can study online, reading books, libraries, online libraries. There's so much out there. I think it's incumbent upon us to have a good spiritual director to help us to make the right choices with respect to what's best for us to read, and not to fall into reading and watching things that are basically just a waste of time. As the great poet Seneca says, it's not that we don't have enough time, but the problem is we don't use the time that we have properly. I like what Seneca says. It's not that we don't have enough time. We all have 24 hours in the day, but we don't use the time we have properly. Carpe diem, the famous phrase, which means take advantage of the moment. Take advantage of the moment. Carpe diem. Take advantage of the moment. Live the moment. Live the sacrament of the present moment to the fullest extent possible. My third intention will be, I'd like to pray that all of us would pray for the dying. The most important moment in our lives, is the moment that we die. That moment will determine for us and for all eternity our destiny, either salvation or condemnation. There's no other possibility. Either salvation or condemnation, no other possibility. So, let's pray for deathbed sinners, especially those who are furthest from God. Those who are heading in the wrong direction. Those who are not in the state of grace. So there we have it, my friends. So today, as always, there's a lot to cover. So in the limited time we have at our disposal, I'd like to give you an eagle eye vision, a panoramic vision of what we're going to be covering today. I would like to talk about the saint of the day, and his name is Saint Martin of Tours. For that reason, in our country, this is a holiday for most people. It's called Veterans Day. And St. Martin was a soldier. That would be the historical origin of Veterans Day, going back to St. Martin of Tours. And this is all the way back to the 4th century. But Martin of Tours has always been a very honored and loved saint, especially in the Catholic Church. Then yesterday we had a very short summary of the shortest letter of St. Paul in the Bible. And that's the letter that he wrote to Philemon. Which St. Paul is in prison. And he converts one of the members in prison who was a runaway slave, whose name is Onesimus, which means useless. His master's name is Philemon. Paul is pleading that Philemon will not exact justice once he's released, which could be the death sentence. But rather, St. Paul is saying, take him back, not so much as a slave, but as a son of God, as a follower of Christ as we are. St. Paul was instrumental in the conversion of Philemon and now Onesimus. Paul is trying to mediate that there will not be strict justice carried out against this slave, and he probably would receive the death sentence. So this one day the church offered us this meditation on the letter of St. Paul to Philemon, which was yesterday. So today, the church offers us a reading of St. John. Maybe you don't know this, but you'll know when I say it, is that St. John wrote the fourth gospel. But also we have three very short letters of St. John. And it's a very short reading of St. John, just about five, six verses, which he's writing this letter to this chosen lady. And he's speaking about the importance of following God by living out the commandment of love. Then John makes a warning of the Antichrist. There are many antichrists or false teachers that are spreading false doctrine. Many of these false teachers deny that Jesus came in the flesh. Those who deny the incarnation, Jesus come in the flesh, are deceivers. The responsorial psalm is taken from Psalm 119, and the antiphon is, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. What is the acid test or the sure sign that we love God? Well, it doesn't depend so much on feelings or sentiments or emotions. Quite the contrary. We really love God If we really do love God, then we love God, then we will try to obey His commandments. That's why Jesus says, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my heavenly Father. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my heavenly Father. For those who do the will of my heavenly Father. Then the gospel for today Jesus is exhorting us to be ready. To be ready for many things. To not to be caught off guard. To be ready for His second coming. To be ready and prepared for the day in which we will die. To be ready and prepared for the attacks of the devil. Be ready and prepared for God sending us His Holy Spirit and the heavenly inspirations. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. Then our Lord gives us examples of those who are not ready. He gives us example of Noah. In the time of Noah, people were eating and drinking and marrying. Eating and drinking and marrying and partying. And then the flood came. And then Jesus gives you another example of the time of Lot. Lot lived near Sodom and Gomorrah. And those people had given in to sexual sin and depravity. And God told Lot to get up and to leave, not even to turn around. Not even to turn around. Lot's wife turned around and she is turned into a pillar of salt. And then God rained down from heaven. The fire and the brimstone. And those people in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. So Jesus gives us a lot of examples. We have to be prepared. Then He says that there will be two men in a field. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men on the rooftop. One will be taken, the other will be other one will be left. Two people in the same bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, one will be left. Then they ask, where, Lord? And our Lord says, where the corpse is, there also will the vultures gather. So, what Jesus is really saying, is the following. Is that we have to be ready. We shouldn't be living in mortal sin. We shouldn't be giving into carousing and drunkenness and lust, which is so prevalent in our modern society, but we have to be prepared. On the relevant radio app today, the talk was on death. The whole idea was on death. We have to be prepared for death. Because we know neither the day nor the hour. We have to be prepared for death. We know neither the day nor the hour. It will come like a thief in the night. Will come in like a thief in the night. In the moment that you least expect it, God will knock at the door of our hearts, asking us to pass from this life to the next and to go before the judgment seat of God. Let us be prepared. Let us be vigilant. So, those are the readings today, and we'll be referring to them during our conversation. We'd like to talk about the saint of the day. In our church, the parish of St. Peter Chanel, which is a very beautiful church, and it's a very, you might even call it a catechetical church, given that we have a lot of children, a lot of teenagers that go through our catechetical program. A lot of children and teenagers that go through our catechetical program. Many of the ornaments or pictures or statues or stained glass windows are very catechetical. Now, from the altar, the priest is saying the Mass. From the altar on the right, there are 7 stained glass windows. And they are the corporal works of mercy. On the left, over the organ, you have the spiritual works of mercy. You have the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual works of mercy. We should all try to live out as best we can some of the corporal or spiritual works of mercy. At least one. And you might think, which of the corporal or spiritual works of mercy is the one which you feel the Holy Spirit is challenging you to live? I'm saying this in the light of the readings today and the saint that we'll celebrate. The corporal works of mercy, most of them are expressed in one chapter of the Bible. That's Matthew chapter 25. Where Jesus says at the end of the world, the shepherd will come to separate the sheep and the goats. On his right will be the sheep, on the left will be the goats. And the shepherd will say to the sheep on his right, come blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because I was hungry. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a foreigner, and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison, and you came to visit me. When, Lord, did we see you hungry and thirsty and naked and a foreigner and in prison and in sick, and we helped you? And the Lord will say, whenever you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it for me. Even anyone who gives a glass of cold water for my sake will not go without his recompense. So you might ask yourself today, as we go for the reading of St. John, in which he says that the greatest of all commandments is love. We love God by loving our neighbor and by obeying the commandments. But also the saint that we're going to be talking about. What is the What is the corporal or the spiritual work of mercy that God is calling you to live out today? What is the corporal or spiritual work of mercy that God is challenging you to live out today? Because whatsoever you do to least of your brothers, that you do unto me. Whatsoever. Because St. John the Cross says, St. John says that we will be judged on charity. We'll be judged on love. We'll be judged on charity. We'll be judged on love. So, let's move into the saint of the day. The saint of the day is Saint Martin. Earlier, we had Saint Martin of Porres. Today we have Saint Martin of Tours. It almost rhymes, but they're two different people. So let's go through Saint Martin of Tours and let's see how he lived out the Word of God in his life. We don't know exactly when he was born, but he was born around the year 316. And he died November 8th, 397. He's the patron of France, soldiers, horses and horse riders, beggars, geese, wine growers. He's the patron saint of many. This is his life. So, Martin was actually born in what would be modern-day Hungary. Martin of Tours, his parents were not Catholics. They were pagans. When he was a boy, the parents moved from Hungary to Italy. So, nothing happens by chance. While he was in Italy, Martin met some priests, and apparently they talked to him about Christ. They told him some stories about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he was very impressed by what he had heard from these priests. Such that he enrolled to be a catechumen when he was 10 years of age, and his parents were not happy with this. So he loved the fact that Christ loved the poor, the sick, and the sorrowful. In the words of Jesus, calling others to love the poor, the sick, the abandoned, really left a deep impression upon him. So he enters as a catechumen when he's only 10 years of age. When he told his parents he wanted to be baptized, his parents did not allow that. The parents were opposed to Christianity. So Martin is growing up, and when he's 15 years of age, his father enrolled him in the Roman army. And not too later, Martin ascended as a Roman officer. But even though he was fighting the war against his enemies, Martin really did not have his heart totally into this physical combat that he was involved in. But rather, Martin really wanted to be a soldier of Christ. As the Mexicans cry out, Que viva Cristo Rey! St. Ignatius would go on to point out the call of the king. The call of the king to conquer the world to Christ. Not so much the physical world, but to conquer souls for Christ. So he's a young soldier, and he's already an officer. Now, nothing happens by chance. In our lives, God allows certain things to happen. In our lives, God allows certain things to happen that can change the course of our events. This is called the intervention of divine providence. For example, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, another one would be Ignatius of Loyola, the Pamplona experience. St. Augustine in the garden in Milan. St. Charles Borromeo, whose feast day we celebrated about a week ago. The freak death of his brother who was killed in a horse accident. God intervenes in many ways. And sometimes in very surprising ways. So, for Martin, this is what happened. Martin, he's a Roman officer, but he sent a mission to France to fight a battle in France. So this one very cold winter day, Martin is on his horse with his cape and with his sword. And Martin looks down and he sees that there's this man who's half naked, who's shivering in the cold. Martin, moved to compassion, he takes his cape, he takes his sword, and he cuts his cape into two pieces. And he gives half of his cape to the poor man who is shivering in cold. Remembering what our Lord had said, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. Naked and you clothed me. So that very night, Martin had a dream. In the dream, he saw Jesus wearing the part of his cloak that he had given to the poor man. Martin then understood the words of Jesus. Whatever you do to the least of mine or my brothers, you do this to me. Martin understood in the depths of his heart that poor man, that poor shivering man, was really the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is really the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because whatsoever you do to the least, my brother, you do that to me. So when Martin was old enough to become a Christian, he was baptized against his parents' consent. So he's baptized a Christian. So with him becoming a Christian, being baptized, Martin wanted to resign. He wanted to resign in the Roman, the Roman army. He wanted to resign from his position as a soldier because he no longer wanted to kill any people with a sword. The emperor called him a coward. And Martin said, look, I no longer want to fight for Rome. I want to fight for Christ. And I will have a sword, but my sword will be the cross. My sword will be the cross. So Martin renounces his position as a Roman officer and he dedicates himself to Christ. So the emperor said, okay, if that's the case, then you'll go into the battlefield with your cross. But as it happened, a few days before the battle, the enemy surrendered. Everything is divine providence. So God allowed it such that the French troops surrendered to the Roman troops, and Martin didn't have to fight to kill anyone anymore. So Martin was aware of the fact that he was a Christian, but he still had to learn his faith better. And time again, I invite all of us to take seriously our permanent formation. To take seriously, my friends, our permanent formation. You know, it's interesting in the life of St. John Bosco. St. John Bosco was brilliant. He had a photographic memory. We call him a genius. But after John Bosco was ordained a priest, he had a spiritual director. His spiritual director was actually another saint. His name was St. Joseph Cafasso. St. Joseph Cafasso was his spiritual director. His spiritual director. Joseph Cafasso told John Bosco to spend another year studying, even after he was ordained. Because he recognized even this spiritual giant still had some learning, certain areas of learning that he had to undergo before he'd be able to launch himself into one of the most important apostolic endeavors in the church, which would be to be helping out the young people. So we should never in our lives underestimate the importance of applying ourselves to study. We should never underestimate the importance of applying our minds to study. So, talking about Martin becomes a catechumen, he's baptized, but he's studying. But who is he studying with? He studied under St. Hilary, who was a bishop. Hilary would eventually become a bishop, a saint, and a doctor in the church. Often you see saints working together in clusters. John Bosco, Cafasso, Dominic Savio. Saint Benedict, you've got Saint Scholastica. Saint Augustine, you've got Saint Monica. So you'll see saints working together as a team. So Saint Martin had the great privilege of being formed intellectually by the great Saint Hilary of Poitiers. Now, what's interesting, what happens is this. Martin receives a more complete education in faith. Martin goes home where his mother is still living, and he converts his mother to Catholicism. Interesting. You know this young Saint, Blessed Carlos Acutis, died when he's about 16 years of age. His parents were very lukewarm. And it's really Blessed Carlos Acutis that converted his mother and his father. It's usually the other way around. Our God is a God of mystery, isn't he? The Holy Spirit moves in many different directions. We have to be open to the workings and the movements of the Holy Spirit. Open to the movements of the Holy Spirit. So Saint Martin converts his mother. And given that Martin is well formed now, he's fighting against false teachings. And because of this, Martin was persecuted. He was beaten and driven out of towns because he's preaching the fullness of the truth. If you remember the first few centuries of Catholicism, you had a lot of what are called Christological heresies, among which would be Arianism, Nestorianism, Donatism, Manichaeism. Then you had the Vandals coming. So the early church was really shaken by these errors that were basically denying the person of Christ being the Son of the living God. So Martin, well formed by Bishop Hilary, was preaching and trying to defend the truth of the faith. So eventually Martin is going to return to France, and he's going to found a monastery. It's interesting, my friends, talking about monastery. Monastery would be a place where you have monks who are dedicating themselves to deep prayer and penance. Whenever a missionary wants to plant the seed of Christianity, one of the things he's going to try to do is to found and to establish monasteries. St. Martin is an example. Another example of this would be St. Patrick. When St. Patrick went to Ireland, eventually he would set up monasteries. When St. Anselm goes to England, he establishes monasteries. St. Boniface goes to Germany, he's going to establish monasteries, which are places and schools of prayer. So you have these monks that are praying fervently, the grace of God will be descending upon that country. and the faith will start to grow and flourish. So Martin established these monasteries where there's going to be houses of deep prayer. So Martin's going to be living basically kind of, he's going to be living basically come like a monk in a monastery for about 10 years. So he's living in France. He's living in the city of Tours. So eventually what's going to happen is the Bishop of Tours dies. The people who really loved Martin, because Martin was a man that really knew his faith, was able to preach his faith, but Martin also had a great love and tenderness toward the poor. They asked Martin to be their bishop. But as is the case in many saints, Martin did not want to be bishop. Martin did not want to be bishop. Quite the contrary, he wanted to run away from this huge responsibility. Now there's a legend. It's a legend that says that Martin had a goose who was his pet. So they're looking for Martin. They couldn't seem to find him, but then the goose kept honking, making a lot of noise. Because Martin was hiding from this responsibility. He did not want to be bishop, knowing the responsibility. So the goose was honking and honking and honking and honking. And the people went to the goose, and there was Martin hiding from them so he wouldn't be consecrated bishop. So Martin accepts the responsibility of being the Bishop of Tours, France. So as a bishop, Martin no longer stayed in his monastery, but rather as a bishop, he knew that he would have to be on the move. So Martin was traveling. He traveled from one place to the other to preach and to teach and to serve and help out the poor. Martin was on the move. He was very charitable, trying to live out what we said earlier, the corporal works of mercy. I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. Whenever you did it to the least of my brethren, then you did it to me. So Martin ends up by founding another monastery. Now there in the monastery where he's going to be establishing another monastery, what he does there is he trains the priests to bring the gospel to the poor. There's another very important highlight in the life of Martin. Now that he's bishop, he is responsible for his priests, as he was trained by Saint Hilary of Poitiers. Now he is bishop, well formed. He's going to be forming and training the priests so that they can bring the gospel, especially to the poor. What he has received, now Martin is giving freely to others. And I really believe, my friends, that point in the life of Saint Martin is maybe it's overlooked. But it is very, very important for the future of the church in the world, in Europe, in Latin America, in the Philippines, in the United States, that we have priests. Because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. We really have to pray that we get priests. The harvest is very, very rich. The harvest is very, very rich, but the laborers are few. Now, the Lord says, beg the Lord of the harvest that they'll send more laborers to work in the vineyard. Send more laborers to work in the harvest, because the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. Harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So that's the work of Martin. He is bishop. He is responsible for his diocese. He is responsible for the poor. But also Martin is responsible for forming the shepherds so that they will be good shepherds to the sheep. Now the office of readings that we have for today in honor of Saint Martin is very telling about the person of Saint Martin. I'd like to highlight two points that you can glean from the office of readings. First is Martin is traveling to Candace to try to resolve a quarrel that's present in one part of his diocese, that there'll be peace. There's kind of a fight. So Martin is heading there. And Martin becomes very weak. He's very weak, and his friends surround him, and he says to them, I'm ready to die now. And his friends that loved him so much, please, Martin, don't leave us. Don't leave us orphans. Because you leave, then the wolves are going to come. These ravenous wolves are going to come. They're going to devour us. Martin, don't leave us. Don't leave us. Please, don't leave us. It's a very moving page in the life of Saint Martin. So he's lying down, and they tell him, why don't you lie on your other side because you're suffering? And Martin says, no, if I'm lying this way, I'm able to lift up my eyes to heaven to see where I'm heading. Then the next point I'd like to highlight is very important, is that Martin is about to die, and the people are begging Martin to stay longer. And he says, Lord, if you need me for my people to spend more time here, I'm ready to stay. Here we really have the Ignatian concept of holy indifference. Not to prefer health over sickness, long life over short life, honors over humiliations, riches over poverty. But Martin was ready to die, but if God wanted him to spend more time, Martin was ready to stay. Whatever was most pleasing to God. But then at the very end of the life of Martin, the very telling is that Martin opens up his eyes and he sees Martin actually sees the devil. And Martin insults the devil. He says, you bloodthirsty brute. You bloodthirsty brute. Get out of here because I belong to God. Then Martin, the great Saint Martin, Bishop of Tours, known for his love for God, love for the religious life, love for his people, love for the truth. Martin breathes forth his spirit, and he's taken to heaven. Upon his death, the people considered Martin to be a great saint. So, my friends, let us lift up our gaze to the great Saint Martin of Tours. Let's beg Saint Martin for this grace today. Today being Veterans Day, the day in which we commemorate in our country the soldiers who have died in war over the over the years of our country. Let's pray for all those who've died in war, fighting for truth, fighting for freedom, fighting for a noble cause. Let's pray that in honor of Saint Martin, who renounced the military life so that he could become a soldier of Christ, that all of us today we'll enlist in the army. Enlist in the army of Jesus and Mary. For that reason we say, Que vive Cristo Rey en la Virgen de Zapopas, que viva la Generala. Mexico, there's a certain place that actually calls Mary la Generala. La Generala is Spanish for she's the general of the army. So I'd like to give you my priestly blessing, and let's follow in the footsteps of Saint Martin of Tours, the true soldier of Christ. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.